Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Our U.S.-based restoration specialists are experts dedicated to helping solve your identity theft issues. And all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. So we'll reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Help protect your information this tax season with LifeLock. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.
Welcome to Strange Familiars. Allison.
Yes.
How are you tonight?
I'm fine. I'm feeling very festive.
Are you really?
No.
Grinch. Well, tonight we're going to be talking with Ron again. If you remember back, well, it's been a few episodes now. We did two episodes with Ron. Ron is from the Blackfoot Confederacy, shared stories and folklore. And tonight we're going to hear more from him. He's got stories about little people, good and bad, Inniskum, which are buffalo stones.
What are buffalo stones?
Listen to the interview.
Okay.
Alcohol spirits, which don't seem very nice.
Spirits.
Nighttime invaders, the Wolverine woman, and shapeshifters. Lots of good stories coming up tonight.
All we have is Belsnickel, which I think has been, the interpretation of Belsnickeling and Belsnickel on The Office isn't quite accurate.
No. Every time you bring up Belsnickel, somebody wants to mention The Office.
Yeah.
Listen to our Belsnickel episode from a few years ago. That'll give you more of the flavor of the true Belsnickel.
And if it's Pennsylvania Dutch, there is no flavor, actually.
The flavor is salt. Before we get to Ron, I want to thank our patrons. Thank you so much, patrons. We could not do Strange Familiars without your help.
Nor would we want to.
Yeah, exactly.
We're in this together.
If you like Strange Familiars and you'd like to get extra content besides, you can become a patron at Patreon. It's patreon.com/strangefamiliars. Our patrons get how many extra episodes a month, Allison?
Two?
At least two. Mm-hmm. You're exactly right. Sometimes we give them more. You can go ahead and check it out. It's patreon.com/strangefamiliars. And thanks for your support and your help. All right, let's go ahead and get to more stories with Ron. We're back talking with Ron, and he's going to continue and tell us some more stories that we didn't get last time. How are you doing tonight, Ron?
Hey, I'm doing well.
Good. I don't even remember where we left off, so where do you want to start?
I think we should start with more of the little people stuff.
That'd be excellent. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, well, the little people, let's talk about this old story that's pretty important, you know. So here's a guy who I grew up across the river. He was pretty well known amongst a lot of the, you know, the holy people and everybody around that area. And he tells a story. And it goes like this. It was Blackfeet were, there's more to it. So this would have happened around middle 1700s, around that time. And so the Blackfeet were getting ready to go on this war party, and it's been a while since they, you know, went out and raided and got war on us. So there were a few of them that were kind of chomping at the bit to go and do one of these raids. And there was this war chief who had a brother, and that war chief also had this son. Well, his son was only about 10 years old. He wanted to go with him, but his father thought he was too young, you know, feast. So all the men gather, the father and his brother and all the rest of the mortals go, and they all ride out that night. Well, that little guy followed him, and, you know, about halfway there, his brother, his dad, seen him, and tells his brother, oh, you know, take him back, because you don't even trust to run him all the way back, and, you know, make sure his home's safe. You're the only one that I trust for this. So at that point, his brother was kind of mad, you know, and kind of upset because they were waiting to go on this, and now this kid's going to ruin it for him, you know, so he was upset. And he says, okay, I'll bring him back. Well, on the way back, he finally tells that boy, he says, you know, I'm only going to bring you this far, and you ride back the rest of the way. If you keep trying to follow us, I'm gonna hit you in the head with my hammer here. I'm gonna push you in one of those coolies. I'll just tell your dad that the, you know, enemy probably got you or something. You know, so that's your warning. You better not follow us. He turned around because he wanted to catch the battle. Well, that boy kept following him. Sure enough, he waited for him. So he hit by a big rock and waited for him to come up, and he hit him and pushed him down in that coolie, left him for dead. Turned around and went back. Join up with that war party. Well, that boy wasn't dead, but geez, he was really banged up, you know, couldn't move anything, just laying there bleeding. And you start hearing coyotes, you know, you hear them coming, and thought, oh, geez, they're going to eat me. This is it. Well, they come down in that coulee, all surrounded him, and start talking to him. They start telling him, well, you know, take pity on me. He said, I used to feed you guys. I said, I used to play with you guys in those coolies, stuff like that, and I'd play. So, take pity on me. And then this old coyote walked up and looked at him and spoke. Told his Indians, he says, this boy says it's true. I remember him. He used to feed us, play with us. Yeah, I remember him. And that coyote starts singing a song. And when he was done, he turned into a little person. And same with those other ones. They turned into little people, too. So tell us what happened here. What was going on? He told him the story of what his uncle did. And he says, all I wanted to do was go on the war party. And he said, well, we're going to help you. We're going to make this right. He says, all right, so I'm going to teach you this song. And he taught him that song. He said, when you get done, he said, just kind of make coyote sounds, you know. Get around like a coyote, the song's done. And he did that, and as soon as he was looking around like that, geez, he turned into a coyote. The old man and those other ones did it too. You know, they're only 2 feet tall, though. You know, they're really small. And so the rest of them did the same thing. He said, we'll travel faster, these coyotes. We'll meet them at that battle over there. And so they did. They got there, but as soon as they got there, geez, they got there, they were in the Blackfeet, were just surrounded. They bit off more than they could chew. They were surrounded, and they were going to get it that day. But those little people and that boy, they went in there like they said that those little people had little spears, and they hit those horses from underneath and knocked the riders off and killed those riders. And that's how they said they were strong, really fierce. Yeah, that's what they did. But those Blackfeet that were there, they couldn't see what was happening. To them, it just looked like they were falling off. They couldn't see those little people. So they looked like they were just dying. And that's when that bad brother, the bad uncle, he said, oh, that's my war medicine. Look at my war medicine. You know, how strong it is. One like that. Well, they all start picking up war trophies, this, that, and the other, you know, because when those little people and that boy were in there and they fought, they did that really quick, and then they left. They went back and they waited for him to come back to that camp. Well, they did. Well, there was big celebrations and everything like that. And at this point, the father didn't even know anything about his son yet. But, you know, they're going into camp, going on. And they heard them, those coyotes and that little boy, they heard them talking. Oh, yeah, there was my deeds. I did this, I did that. And that little boy said, I've had it. You know, he went down there. And that old man told him first. He said, well, if you need proof, he said, just sing that song that I showed you. Okay, and then So I went down and seen his dad, and, "Oh, I'm glad to see you made it back." And this is what he's saying. "It's wrong, Dad. It's a lie. You know, illusions were medicine." So there was those little people that helped me. And we went and helped you guys. And he tried to kill me just because I wanted to go with you guys. And his uncle started saying, "Oh, he's crazy. He's foolish. Look at him. He's talking nuts. Don't believe him." Start laughing, making fun of him more. The head chief said, "No, we need to listen to what he's saying." He says, "So everybody needs to be quiet and give him a chance to prove what he's saying is true." So that's when that little boy started singing that song. And when he did, those coyotes came in and stood around that little boy. They came in between the legs of all the people. And they walked in and stood around that little boy, and that little boy got done with that song. All those little people, or those coyotes, turned into little people right there. That chief talked to everybody, and he said, "Yeah, what this boy says is true. You know, everything he said," he says, "but there's even more to this day, you know, that happened. When we went in there to battle, this boy took and tied his ankle to a bush so he couldn't leave the field of battle until it was over. He fought braver than any of us did out there. This boy did either." So then because of that, we're making him an honorary war chief of the little people. You know, all the people were happy. They kind of rejoiced about that. He said, "But I'm also going to give you a gift that's going to protect your people and heal your people." And that gift that he gave them is called the Crazy Dogs. And today, the story I just told you is, as far as I understand, because I'm not a member of any of these societies, so I'm just an infant and I'm just familiar with a lot of it. I'm not an active member of societies or nothing. But from what I understand, this story goes to those societies. That's kind of what it's all about when they're doing their different little, you know, things here and there. But that society there is active today. Like, as a matter of fact, about 5 years ago, my family and I went up to Canada to get our faces painted and be on a Sundance up there. And we went seeing a lot of them up there, too. It's an active society, and when it was started by those little people and that boy.
Oh, wow.
So when people talk about these things, these little people like that, they're like, "What are mean? What are this? What are, you know?" And they are to those people, but they're also really powerful. They're powerful little spirits. You know, they say, in our way, it's really odd because you don't think about it. But in our way, the small things are the most powerful.
Interesting.
You know? Yeah, it's not the big things, like the buffalo. That's not the most powerful. How it was in the old days, in the stories, is that the mouse, well, he beat buffalo. He was supposed to be chief under man, but he gave up that right because he said, "Oh, we're just small. You guys take it." But to this day, those mice, I'm telling them, they're really powerful spirits. Those spirits, you know, of those mice are really, really powerful. You know, and as I was saying, they have really strong medicine, just like beavers. Beavers got a lot of, you know, those spirits are really powerful. Like those Niskins we get, they're spirits, but they're, so it's like us, how we're aware of ourselves, right? That's how that is, but it's a rock, but it's aware of itself, spirit in it. And those were used to call buffalo a long time ago to get them to come over, you know, so you could, you know, run them down, whatever buffalo jump you want, or however you're going to harvest them. But and what was interesting about those Niskins is when people find them, they chirp. They say, everybody that finds them says they sound like little birds. Yeah, and they find you. You walk by and they'll be calling for you. Just make a little chirp. Sound like a little bird.
Huh.
Yeah, this one girl was swimming out by where there's shale under that river. It's kind of slick. Anyway, she was swimming around in there. It's a little swimming hole down there. And she'd dive under and she'd hear that chirp. What is that? Come back up and listen. Dive back under and hear. And so she starts swimming toward it. and she found it. There was an Eniscan in it. It was in the shape of a little baby buffalo calf, like kind of curled up sleeping. Yeah, the shape of it, but yeah, it was an Eniscan. She found it underwater, so that was pretty cool.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Normally they find them just out, you know, on the ground.
They literally make these sounds.
Yeah, they chirp.
Oh, wow.
It's a chirping sound. Yeah, and they're, you're supposed to feed, I got one in my house. We take, you know, I smudge it and stuff. My wife feeds it. She just fed it this morning. You know, and that was the one that helped my boy. And my boy, we almost lost him. There was an accident. He fell out a window. He heard a dog barking out there. It was odd. It was just, the whole day was odd. But anyways, it was an accident. He fell out the window and had a traumatic brain injury. Well, her cousin sent that down, and she's been taking care of it ever since.
Now, when you say you feed it, this is like we were talking about before, almost like a spirit feeding, right?
This one's physical too, though. But yeah. Yeah, like you just, it likes fat. Like fat. You just rub fat on it, mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. So that's kind of, it's not like really a, it is, it's a spiritual thing you're doing in that sense because you rub fat on it.
Right, right.
That's what they eat. So this one's got a little different to it, yeah, but yeah, it's the same thing, you know, because it's aware of itself, we believe, and we just smudge it off and keep it clean. Well, every time we're praying or something, we always include it, because it's there, it's just, it's alive, you know, just, that's how you treat it,
mm-hmm.
Just, yeah, that's how they treat those bundles, too, like, just, I told you that. Nice. Out in the country with my wife, at the time, girlfriend. There was a bundle in that house. I told you it was an otter bundle.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a spirit in that house, too. It was with that bundle. It was a man, though. But yeah, time he'd come out, and walked down that hallway, peeked in that room, and my wife would come down that hallway, somewhere into the kitchen, and looked at us, and then went back in there. But my dogs are what really took off. They weren't having that. They don't like that. They don't care if it's good or not. They don't like spirits. At that house, they didn't, those dogs there, they didn't like that. But yeah, they would come in and then they'd just go back. Didn't bother you, you know, don't scare you. That's the general rule of thumb for everybody that's funding. If something's out there and you know there's something out there and it's scaring you, in general, it's bad, you know, but it's not always the case. Sometimes those good ones scare you too, but sometimes, I don't know why. I know sometimes it's not on purpose.
Yeah, you
know? Yeah. You just get scared. But it's like a scared of your own, like the feeling you get when you're a kid and you're going from the bathroom back to your room in the middle of the night and you just kind of get the creeps and run. Yeah, that's you scaring yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, not like that kind they throw at you. That's bad. That kind that they throw at you and it hits you and you're just scared. Yeah, those are those bad ones trying to scare you. So it's a subtle difference, but you can kind of notice it. What's happening with those, you know, those bad ones when they come around. But in that same house, when my grandpa passed away, there's this place that my dad used to go. He showed it to me. He said, if you ever want anything, he said, just come home and pray. That's an idea. Anyway, so I always wondered why he said that. He showed it to me a long time ago, that place. But that's where he was sitting when my grandpa died. And that's the only time I ever seen him cry. Just one tear down his eye. You know, that's the only time I ever seen him. Anyway, so he was looking across that. It's a hill, and then you look down, and there's a little tiny clearing, and then the river. Across that's this really high bank and some trees. He was pointing across that. He said, you know that trail over there? I said, yeah. He said, what time are we sitting up here? He said, you seen those lights? You know those lights that are always down there? I said, yeah. He said, well, this time, he said, there was about two or three in front. He said, just bouncing. He when I think in Wisconsin like that. I said, yeah. He said, you know, in the end, he said, there was about two or three of them that were completely tough. There was a lot of trees, and you know, they were just kind of moving slow, doing a little moving, bouncing look. He says, well, it looked really funny in between them, that space that was in between those two groups. He said, it was like looking through a window. He said, all I could see is a bunch of old Indians walking, and it made just a slit view for me to see something. He said, but there was a whole bunch. Like, he said, they were moving camp.
Like looking into the light, he saw that.
Yeah, but it didn't make light. He said it made like this weird. He said it was just the people that were in between those, like almost like it was, yeah, like making a window for him just to look at.
Right. Yeah.
Do it. But that's what he's seen was a camp being moved. They were heading to the upkirk that way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's how. What he said he's seen that day. I just wonder about that, because I never seen it like that. But also, if these little people are going back to that, my dad, up from what I'm talking about on the other side of that creek, if you go up about maybe a mile, half mile, somewhere in there. So what happened in the 60s is a big flood come through there, and just that the dam broke, and it just wiped that whole valley out, and everybody that was camped in that floodplain or lived in that floodplain, I mean, had houses there, they got wiped out too. And anyways, there's like big piles still of driftwood from like long, long time ago everywhere. And so people kind of go and cut that up sometimes. And that's what my dad and them were doing. There was a big pile like that. They were cutting some of that up, and there's other places where they're getting other trees too, not just that kind. But they drove in. When I first got there, there was him and two other guys, and they were walking. They could see, like a game trail, like that grass is kind of tall. They had to go in, on that little trail, and they're just walking, and geez, I seen that little wagon. Because that was really, the first time he told me this, I didn't ask him no questions. And the second time he told it to me, then I asked him questions, and he said, well, we walked, and we seen that little wagon sitting there. He said, we just walked by it, you know, and we kind of went a different direction. And we kind of got a little bit of wood. We didn't get much, and we just went back. And we got in that truck, and we drove down to another spot. I said, well, when you went back, did you see that wagon? He said, no. After they got wood and then they went back to that spot, it was like a day later, that wagon was gone. That little one said, well, after I started asking the question, I said, well, what did it look like, that wagon? Because I thought he was talking about like a little toy, like a kid's toy wagon.
Yeah.
Oh, he was talking about a wagon from like the 1800s, like little bolts or whatever they pounded things, you know, rivets and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
It's made into wood, and even the little wagon wheels had metal on it. You know, like the real one, but just shrunk.
Oh, wow.
He said, what do you think they were doing? He said, I think they were getting wood. And he surprised them, and they just dropped their wagon and some on their stuff and hid. He said, because we went back over there. You know, the stain was gone. And I mean, but yeah, and then. That one little guy I seen that jumped off that bridge, it looked like a shadow.
Yeah.
He was a bit taller, maybe 2.5 feet tall, 3 feet maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I suspect it was the same one that was in that house. Because my cousin, she would lay there on that. There's an upstairs and a downstairs. Like when you walk in the first door, you can go up or you can go down. And so she was laying on that couch upstairs, and a shoe comes flying up from down there. And they know that little guy goes down there and raises hell. And it was him that day again, and that shoe comes flying up like that and landed on the floor by her. And she picked it up, and because she told me, she says, Jesus, getting tired of him messing around like that. So I picked that shoe up and I threw it back down there. She said, boy, it didn't even hit. It didn't even land. As soon as it disappeared from my sight, she said, it threw it right back up that
way. Oh, wow.
But she said, yeah, that was that little guy. And her daughter, Easter, I don't know why, but Easter is Hello 3-2. Pull her under that bed. Well, they'd be down there playing, just playing, kids, and they would just pull her under that bed, scared. That was a bad one. I don't know. Yeah, that one wasn't good, whatever that one is. It's a bad one that's there.
So what are these little people supposed to look like? Does anybody say?
Yeah, they look like little Indians.
So, okay, because the ones here are hair covered, right? They say, like, you know, little skinny hair covered thing. So these are look like little men.
Yeah. Yeah, like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, you know, all proportional.
Yeah, yeah.
Small.
Huh.
Two feet tall. So this other one, too. Okay, so different place, different river, just the river over. You just go over the hill and there's this Badlands down there. And they, my wife and them, when they were younger, used to go down. Well, her cousins and them were really good friends with this guy down there. He owned a house down by those Badlands. And it sounds crazy. Yeah, you don't talk like this to people much. But he lived with a little person down there. It sounds odd. But anyways, so they'd pull up. He drank, too, so they'd bring him beer kind of way out in the country like that. And here, that day they were pulling in there on that windowsill, they seen him sitting there with his back, like in a corner of that windowsill with his back up against the inside that windowsill. And this one dresses like a cowboy. Yeah, like a little tiny cowboy, little tiny blue jeans, cowboy boots, you know, a shirt, long sleeve shirt, got buttons, a hat. But it's in them, though. Mm-hmm. It looks like a little cowboy. Well, anyway, that's what I, you know, pull up, they seen it, I jumped out that windowsill. Did you guys see that? Yeah. Well, I didn't say enough. They just kind of walked in, and they walked in, oh, good, I was expecting you guys. And again, they just looked at each other, yeah, whatever. So they go in there, they drink, you know, and later on, one of them, the big guy of the group, one of the bonehead of the group, he's all already drunk, and they're all getting ready to leave. While they're walking out, that door opens for him. And it opens for all of them because it was closed, but it opens for him, and you couldn't see anything there that would open it. And that's when he started getting, you know, kind of cocky, and he said, he grabbed that door and he slammed it shut. Then he opened it himself. He says, I don't need nobody to help me open doors. He walked out, and she didn't even get two steps out that door, and Christ, he felt so wicked, it just bloodied his face up, scraped it, you know. Well, anyways, they say that little guy, you know, was trying to be helpful, but he was just acting like that, so that's what it did to him.
So what happened to him, that he got his face scratched up?
He just fell.
Oh, he fell. Okay.
Somehow.
Okay, yeah, yeah, just, yeah, all right.
But the way he fell was bad.
Yeah, it, being impolite to the little person.
Yeah, it tore him up. Like, yeah. Bloody just, like, cut him up bad. Anyways, there's another closer to town. There's the old man lived there. And it's, when I say that, when I say the old man, I'm referring to a medicine man that had a lot of gifts. He's not alive anymore, but he had a lot. He was the same guy that healed my ex-mother-in-law in her toes. But, there, you'd be sitting there as a little, because my grandpa and him were raised as brothers. They stayed in that little kid teepee behind those three houses down there. There was that old guy, his first wife, then his second wife, and then their little teepee out back. And then somebody else, another family lived in the house right over there. That's where his house was. Up at this old man's house, I'd go to my grandpa as a little kid. And, you know, we'd watch. I'd just try to watch TV or I'd go play around, whatever. But he had candy, he'd give me. Anyways, be sitting there and you'd see this little Indian come out and shut the TV off on you. Nobody'd see it but you. Like, just, I'd just like, what the? Did I just see that? And how it looked was all in white buckskin with the war bonnet. That's how he looked.
Wow.
Anyways, that happened that day, and, you know, that old guy just started laughing, looking at me laughing. He said, just turn it back on. So go over there and turn it back on. And that wasn't uncommon for that to happen because that was one of his, you know, his helpers that would help him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was a good, I know his name, but geez, I won't say it, you know. Mm-hmm. I just won't say it. But I know his name. I know what they called him. yeah, he was one of those. I often wonder if he's like, well, you know, what are they used? Each one of them must have a specific reason that they always help them. You know, I've always wondered that, like, because I really don't know, like, what did those little people, what did they give him? Mm-hmm. How did they get, how did it come up? You know, you'll never know. It's not for us to know a lot of those things. But it's really fun to think about.
Yeah, but you physically saw this one.
Yeah, those. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah.
And they do different things. They some of them, that, you know, they'll even take, like I say, the shiny things. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, they like, it's just spirits in general like the shiny things, but. Yeah, those little ones, and they don't, I don't know, the one that I seen was kind of scary, you know, that it was a little bit bigger, but it was a lamb, and it scared me. Yeah, I thought it was bad. I think it's that same one that bothered them down there at the house. Yeah, but that's all I know about those little ones. I don't know too much more other than that, like, that they're there, there's spirits, and they're really powerful little ones. But I have questions just like the next guy. Mm-hmm. Okay, why are you 2 feet tall? Why can't you be 20 feet tall? Like, why is this, like, you know, I have questions, like, do you guys sing songs? Is there, like, little poems? I have questions,
right, yeah,
too. And it is so rare. And has anyone ever seen one? I mean, I got questions, too, about those little ones. Yeah, as far as we're concerned here, they're not as bad. Yeah, sure, you got both, but you know, they help us to this day.
I don't know. You know, I wonder if people approach them, you know, with the attitude thinking like this is something bad. I think, you know, I'm guessing, I don't know, but I'm guessing that you probably get some measure back of what you put into it. You know what I mean? Like with anything, if you approach a dog assuming it's a bad, you know, it's a bad dog, and the dog's going to pick up on your attitude, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
I had a friend who went to a powwow up in a place called Bonner's Ferry. I want to say that's Washington State. But anyways, Bonner's Ferry is the place he went to the powwow. He used to sing in those groups. He was with one of these. Anyways, he was over there at this powwow, and he knew a friend from there. And they went out one night after the powwow was done, and they were drinking an 18-pack or something like that. But his friend told him, look, I'll show you where this place is where everybody goes and sits and build a fire and stuff like that. So they go there, and at one point, you know, my friend has to go use the bathroom. So he does, goes off into the bushes, you know. So he's in the bathroom, and not too far behind him, another guy comes up and he's kind of a little over to his right somewhere, but he's using the bathroom too. They get done, they start kind of visiting a little bit, you know. My friend says, yeah, he was cool. So he was really cool. He just, you know, some funny things to say. I thought he'd be a good guy to drink with, so I brought him up to that fire. He's kind of a short guy. But anyways, I brought him up there. And said, hey, you guys, check this guy out, man. Just met him. It's our friend. He's going to drink with us. And everybody was all visiting. They looked over at him. You know, these ain't from my tribe now, but they all looked over at him, and they all ran. He said there was a trail that led up to this place, and you have to run to the parking. So they all ran, even his friend. And he was running down there looking at his, like, because that's why he ran, because he was following his friend. He said, I don't know why they ran, but I don't have any way out of here. He was my ride, so I started running to follow him.
Right.
So his friend was ahead of him, but he could hear behind him his friend's voice calling his name, saying, hey, stop. Huh. Hey, come back. And anyways, so what ended up happening when he got down there is he told him that he was drinking with a Guth Gus. He said, those are really bad. He says, don't bring those around or don't drink with them anymore.
Huh.
But that was their version of a little person, I think. That's the way it sounded. He said he was a short guy, but he would talk to them.
Wow.
I would call that an alcohol spirit myself.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Which brings me to the next one, the alcohol spirits. Those ones, all they want to do is take everything you got. And that's what they'll do. By giving you alcohol constantly. So the old man, this was way before he'd become chief of police, judge, councilman, and all these things. Holy man, he was really drinking a lot and really bad off on that. It was really getting bad. And my grandpa goes out to sober him up, goes to his house, and he checks on him, and he's passed out on his bed, and goes throughout his house, and he cleans everything out, gets all the alcohol out there, double, triple checks everything, spills all the bottles out. He's going to bring him to town and sober him up. Is it's going too far with this drinking. And he gets that done, and he goes back to the room, and he says, come on now, I'm bringing you in to sober you up. It's cool. He says, well, wait. He says, I have one more drink. He says, can you go get me that bottle on the table? He says, there's no bottle there. He says, no. I spilled everything out. Come on, I cleaned everything out of this house. We're going to get you cleaned up, too. He says, no, there's a man that brings me a bottle every day. It's on that table right now. Can you go get it for me? And he went in there, and sure enough, he cleaned everything out. There was a bottle right there, right on that table. So he spilt that out, too, and brought him into town. Well, everyone believed that those alcohol spirits are trying to keep him like that because they knew what he was going to become someday. Mm. So they're constantly trying to keep him like that. And so my dad actually died from that drinking. Mm. And one time my nephew was staying at his house with him, and he was getting kind of annoyed because he used to play his music really loud and he'd drink. And he finally knocked on his door because he could hear he had a couple people in there with him drinking. He heard him talking all night and playing up music and him laughing and stuff. So I was like, okay, I got to go to work tomorrow. I'm just going to see if I can ask him to turn down his music. I know it's his house, but I'll just be real polite. And so he knocks on the door and he tells him to come in, and he walks in, and Dad tells him, hey, meet so-and-so. And he turns and there's nobody there. When he opens the door, there's nobody in there. Hmm. You heard him. That's what they do. They'll take everything to your life. And it's them. That's what they do. And, there's, I don't know why, but like, if we could, say you were a drinker that drank to blackout, right? Mm-hmm. Say we could go into that blackout of just a random person and go see their, what they experience, like a videotape of sorts, right? Just download it and see it. We'd see so many things on those. God, we'd see so many spirits on those. We would. they drink right with you, and you don't even know that they're not real. Isn't that scary?
That is, yeah.
That's what happens, and you don't even know they're not real. Like, how? You have no idea. It's just a stranger you met in some random bar, but you're sitting there having a good time with them. You don't even know it.
Wow.
And then it can happen when you're not that drunk either. So we were up at this house up kind of near the mountains. And it's my friend and his brother, and it's their family house. Their folks had passed away. But anyways, one of the brothers still lives up there and keeps good care of everything. Well, one night he was letting us, you know, invited us up to drink with him and stuff. This is when I used to drink. So we go up, and my wife, girlfriend at the time, is with me. And at one point in the middle of the night, he says, okay, guys, he has a wood stove. He says, we need more woods. We're about to run out. It's getting colder and colder. And he said, let's just all pitch in right now and get over. So we all stopped and went to this truck where they had wood, and we started getting it all out. And there's a few people in the truck handing logs out and stuff like that, bringing them in. So it's just myself, my wife, and her cousin, and this boy with a gray hooded sweatshirt on. And he's still in the truck, and so they each get a log from him and walk in. I get the last log from him, and I go in. They said, that's it. We don't need any more. Sorry, I'll grab the last one. And I start walking and get in there and set it down, and I come back out, and I'm waiting for that kid. I didn't know who that kid was, and there was no kid. Huh. But he physically handed us logs, because I asked the owner of the house, and I'm like, hey, like, you guys have a little cousin maybe that stays in anywhere near anything? Like, oh, I mean, it's just us. There's no kid with a gray sweater on.
Wow.
That's my wife and her cousin. They just go, ew, like that, kind of get the creeps.
Mm-hmm.
But they're lessening as I'm finally figuring all this out. So, yeah, that's my new lark. Yeah, we're drinking with one. As long as it don't come back around, I thought to myself, I'll let that one slide. Because you don't want them around you. When you're drinking, you don't have any defense. Smudge don't work when you're drunk.
Really?
Sad to say to everybody, but it don't work. You can't
really
do it when you're drunk. Yeah, you can't. Don't work. You'll have bad luck messing with any of that Indian stuff while you're drunk or on anything. You can't do it. They don't mix.
Interesting.
It doesn't mix. It's either one or the other. You can't have them both. So that's why I'm saying, like, these people out ghost hunting. See, we do it too. I go on ghost tours with my daughter and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's a total different thing from ghost hunting, right? Totally different. So they just bring us to the houses that are haunted, tell us haunted stories of them. They're not setting up equipment, going in there and provoking and asking for them.
Right, right.
In a tour, walking by, so we smudge, spit when we leave. You know, we get our protection. That's as far as I'll go down that road. Because I don't, you know, I won't mess with those. They're too pitiful to begin with. You know, they're already having it hard. So I don't want to bother them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I was to, it would be in a way of trying to help them. Probably the only way I'd want to bother around them. But again, I'm not approached by them. I'm not going to them to seek it out.
So would you make a distinction between, say, these alcohol spirits and a ghost?
Yeah, it's all the same. Well, ghosts, what we say, like, technically, if we were to talk like that, like a ghost, we say it's those are those ones that just make noise, that don't, you don't see them. They don't mm-hmm. push things over. They just make noise. You know, not the banging.
Right.
Oh, by the way, that's something I wanted to bring up. The old people talk about when there's bangs, that's when a spirit shows up. That's when it came. Like it's
interesting.
Here.
No, that's super interesting.
Yeah, they said you hear bangs. And for some reason, this is another thing they said, when we got into houses, they said a lot of times those spirits like to come into corners of the house. So like when we set up our barriers, we put them in the corners of our houses too.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we put them, actually. And we put them in the windows, the doors, and we put up our barriers. Like, barriers can be broke, too. You can have one argument in that house, and your barriers could be broke. Have one beer in that house, your barriers could be broke.
Hmm.
You know, think bad about somebody, your barriers could be broke. So, Yeah, those are fragile things too if you're not careful. They got to be strengthened and redone all the time. The reason you need barriers is like, so like this, like I stayed in my dad's house too, but that house wasn't mine, it was his. And whatever is in that house, I couldn't get rid of it because it wasn't my house. Yeah, I didn't have that right for whatever reason. It wouldn't let me. I tried and tried to get those things at the house. They just wouldn't go at the house. And I don't know what else we could have done to push that thing out, but it wouldn't. So I'd go into these stories about this house in town, the flood house. When I was telling you about that big flood and it washed all those houses away, the tribe built new houses in town. It's temporary. Well, everybody could live in them. They're still up today. So that's where they kind of transplanted all the survivors is there. And it's one of these houses. And that one night I'm laying there and my girlfriend, wife's at the side of me on my right side. We're in the corner. The bed's in the corner of the room. And I wake up because something's wrong. I don't know what it is. I'm looking around, but that's when I realized it's got me pinned. Like I can't move. Just my eyes. And so I look to the corner where the door's at. I look to that corner over there, and there he is. He's about 4 feet tall. He's got a hat on, and the hat's about as wide as his shoulders. And he looks, geez, I don't know how to say he's dressed. It looks to me like, I don't know, I'll just say it looked. He was shaped like, remember that old Batman movie with the penguin, like it's played by Danny DeVito?
Yeah.
That's how he was shaped, but he had a hat on that was wider than his shoulders. And I couldn't really tell how he was dressed. It almost seemed like a trench coat, but I wasn't too sure. I started looking at his face. No features, just great big eyes, like big eyes. And like kind of gray looking, you know, kind of how he looked. Like clay or something. Anyways, I looked at him and I knew he was a liar right away, man. When I was laying there and he wouldn't let me move. All right, this is really, really scary. Yeah, I get it, but okay, why do you look like that? That's not you. Whatever you are, that's not you. What you're showing me, you're a liar. You're bad, whatever you are. I recognized it right away.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, I don't know how it happened, but I was able to move again. It was gone. I got hit it out. I don't know where he went, but he was gone. And, okay. And my wife was still sleeping. I didn't even bother her. I didn't freak her out or nothing. So I go back to sleep. Damn it, I woke up again. Same thing. Something wrong again. And this time I'm looking to where he was at before. Now he's half the distance to me. Into my
Ooh.
Bed.
Ooh.
Not across the room. Now he's in the middle. But he's got a little boy and a little girl in front of him. The left and the right, and that little boy is slightly taller than that little girl. They look the same as him. But they're skinnier. They're not like really wide like he was. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. They're like skinnier. And the same thing. They have this kind of clay look to them, like no features. And they just... If I was to say, I'd say they look bored, but no, it's not it, man. They're liars. Even those little kids look like liars for some reason. I start thinking to myself, man, this thing's just trying to scare me, whatever it is, because I don't know. I get scared of little kid spirits, you know, that freaks me out, and I'm almost wondering that too. Is this guy just trying to, like, do something to me, scare me, or like, what the hell's going on here? But I'm scared. It's intensely terrifying when this is going on. Right? Mm-hmm. I can talk about it later like it was no big deal, but at the time I was scared. And so, again, I'm able to get away, and I don't know how it happens. It's like I just blink my eyes real quick or something happens, and I'm able to move again. And, geez, all right. So this time I put my hand on my wife's leg, and I said, you know, if I scratch your leg, just move, okay? And she said, what? I said, if I scratch your leg, just move, okay? Like, just move your leg a little bit or something. She said, okay. Because I'm still trying not to freak her out, but I know if she moves or something, it might help me. That's how I have this, I don't
gotcha.
Know.
Gotcha, yeah. Yeah, just kind of snap out of it or something, yeah.
Yeah, and so that's what I'm thinking I could do to help myself. And next thing, it happens again. Three times in one night. Happens again. I'm laying there. This time I looked right where it was at before. Those two little ones. And it's nowhere in the room. I'm looking all over where my eyes can move. And it's nowhere in the room. Nowhere. But it's still not letting me move. I can't even talk. All I could do is think. I'm just thinking, all right, where are you? Why are you doing this? What the heck? You know, I'm kind of confused looking for it. Then I just give up. I just lay there, look straight up, and I could see a little bit of light coming in from the outside above the curtains, and it's making this kind of funny pattern on the ceiling. And then there he was. He was in those shadows of that, of the ceiling.
Oh.
He made himself a shadow. And he was just, like, right above me, hovering, man, like, on top of the ceiling, but darker than anything in those shadows. I couldn't see through it. It was too dark. Mm-hmm. It was right there. Yeah, and it was looking down at me. That's when I was able to kind of, like, I had to look at it for a little bit. But that, shortly after, I was able to move because I moved my finger. And, you know, once I moved my finger, I was able to move the rest of my body. It was odd, but it was gone again. So, and natives, you know, you just talk. And I'm at community college the following Monday, and we're in class. My uncle's teaching the class, actually. we're at break, and these two ladies are in there, and they're actually going to class, too, these two older ladies. And I said, you know, I'm getting bothered up at my dad's house. Yeah, what's going on? And he said, is it ghosts or something worse? And I said, I don't know. I've just been seeing some, and it makes me stay still in that room sometimes. He said, like it paralyzes you? I said, yeah. I said, I don't know what to do about it. He said, well, just put barriers up. And I said, he told me what to do. And I can tell everybody, too. What you do is you take tobacco. And you pray with it. Like, say you take a cigarette and you open it up and get all that tobacco in your palm. And you go to one corner of your house. I started on the northwest corner. And then I just went around clockwise. So anyways, right there. And you just pray and you ask the Creator to take pity on you. And take pity on His house and everything here. And to protect against anything bad that wants to come in and do us harm. Something to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
You put that tobacco down in that corner, all four corners. First, you offer that gift and you set it there. And then by your windowsills, every window, you do the same thing. Give the same prayer. And just put it on your windowsills somewhere and just leave it. It's okay if it scatters down, blows off, just sweep it up, throw it away. But yeah, put it there and all around your windows and then above your door. Do the same thing, put a pinch up there above each door like that. And then go outside your house and do the same thing on the corners on the outside. The same thing. Then in your yard, do the same thing in your yard. And then you're good. You know, nothing ever bad will come through that. Unless you break the barrier yourself. Or it's just been too long, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to probably redo it again. But that's also what you do after you cleanse your house, though. And so I had to do that barrier just in that room because I couldn't get it out of that house no matter what I did. And there was more than just, there was that weird liar guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was the taller thing that would go around. Then there was those things that would drink with my dad. So yeah, I couldn't get them out of there. One day we left, my cousin Greg, in that house, and when we left, we came back. We went through the mountains, and we came back, and this is at night. And, when we get back, man, he's scoot up really close to that TV in the living room, like so close he doesn't want to see anything in his peripheral, you know? Like, he don't even want to see what's going on around him. That's how it looked to me, because he was so close to it. And every cupboard, and every door, everything was open in that house. Every drawer, everything. It was really, really odd. And when I walked in, I looked and seen everything open. I said, Hey, did you open all those? And he looked up at me really slow, and he just shook his head really slow.
Oh.
No expression, nothing.
No. He just,
like, put his face back into that TV. And, you know, I was in a hurry. We just stopped in there, used the bathroom real quick, and we're heading back out. I didn't want to. So I just started closing everything and said, well, Grandpa, if that's you, well, hi. Sorry, you're drinking. I want to just close everything back and we left. But it's not like he was trying to get out there. My cousin, he stayed there. So I don't know. But those are the same guys that would stay out in that house out in the country. You know, they would be used to that happening.
Mm.
Things like that. Yeah, that's why I had to do the barrier in there. But you use sweetgrass. Well, okay, so sweetgrass we use in general to cleanse us and everything. And then you got cedar. Cedar can actually burn those bad ones. I don't know how that works. It can burn them, you know. So that's why we say when there's something in your house that's really bad, is cedar it out really good. And, you know, it chases them out. And so that's what we do, too. Clockwise, or just, you know, people have their own way of telling you how to do it or how they do it. I just start in a corner and I just make sure I go clockwise all the way out, leave all doors open, smudge each one, and I just invite the creator in and smudge all of that smoke everywhere I can, every closet, every nook, every cranny, you know, under beds, just everywhere in each room, and make my way through clockwise through the whole house methodically. Then kicks everything out. But, like, if you don't own that place, they can just come back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just stand out there and wait or something. I don't know what they do. But they can come back.
Well, I would guess if somebody's drinking in terms of the alcohol spirits, they're almost like the act of drinking is sort of inviting them back, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it breaks that. Breaks those things. It doesn't work. Yeah. And that's with any spirit, you know, or anything that's bothering you or something that's attached. It's the same way. Get them to leave, but if you raise hell, it'll come back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that people don't realize that. Oh, I invited something in. Yeah, you drank at a graveyard. Christ. You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I don't mean to sound condescending. It's unfortunate that happens because it's real. You know, it really happens.
Things, mm-hmm.
You know, you invite things in and you don't realize what you're doing. Like the ghost hunting thing, I mean, if I ever did something like that, it would be, you know, I'd have to smudge down really good and carry cedar with me. And I'd have to do it like that. And I'd really pray hard and then just ask for the guidance. And if guidance was telling us to bounce, I wouldn't question it one bit.
Yeah.
One stall at the red light. Okay, we're going home. You know, before you even get there, that's probably the way I'd approach that, because I wouldn't really try to do that. It's more like, in my opinion, playing with a Ouija board. You know, you don't know what's going to come.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's the problem with them. I think people think, you know, you know, as soon as you touch them, you're going to get demons. I don't think it's so much that. I think it's so much it's like you're opening a door and you don't know what's going to walk through it.
Yeah, it don't have to be Ouija board.
Right.
That gets a lot of hype. It don't have to be that. It could be just you out there messing around, talking to them out loud with, you know, or even just thinking and out there messing around. You know, you don't have to interact with them with things like that, right? It could be any old way. Jesus, like I say, if somebody really wants to go out and try and experience something, get out in those woods. Look at all of that life that's out there. There's spirits out there, too. Get out there. Go camp for a while. You'll start realizing things that you can't explain.
Mm-hmm.
It'll happen sooner or later. Give it enough time. There's a lot out there. A lot of this, like a lot of our stories happen in those mountains. Like Wolverine Woman, for one. Nobody's heard about her, right? Yeah, that's a thing, too. Wolverine Woman. She is in buckskin. She's an Indian woman. But she'll come into your camp at night, and if you ask, she'll ask for food. If you try to feed her or anything like that, she'll kill you. That's what it says, the old story. how you get rid of her is you take a piece of meat and you throw it over your shoulder behind you. And that's how you get rid of her. So yeah, that's some old thing about Wolverine Woman, but that's the only thing I know about her. I don't know anything else about her, but I know she's in the mountains, and they always say the old ones used to say for the ones to be careful of her.
So if you're camping in the mountains and just some strange woman walks into camp.
Yeah.
Throw some meat over your shoulder.
Grab that hot dog and throw it over your shoulder.
Hey, can't hurt, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I got lots to talk about. Where should we go from here?
I mean, I have some questions, but if you
want... What are your questions?
So last time we talked, you mentioned it, and I thought about it later on. Just very briefly, you mentioned like you don't leave clothes out on the line overnight. Is there a specific reason for that?
Yeah, because that's how you can, without knowing it, invite something into your house, because it'll attach to those clothes, and when you bring them in, you're letting it in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the whole thing behind that.
And so I, around my house, as soon as it gets dark, curtains are closed, shades are drawn. I have never liked, I say, living in a fishbowl where something or someone can see in and I can't see them, you know, because we have lights on inside. And I was told that's a very kind of native thing. And I was wondering, is that the policy with you?
Drives me nuts. I can't stand it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm the same as, it bugs me to, because I don't know what it is. You're being seen, but it's like this with me, like when I'm really scared, boy, I turn everything black, pitch black, dark, because I'm scared.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to hide in that darkness and use it to my advantage, man. If I need to bolt or something, I'll do it in the dark, man. That's my friend at that point. I'm scared.
Right.
So I'm gonna make it scarce. but yeah, that's kind of that same thing though. Is, you know, it's always been like that. That light trick.
Mm-hmm.
Always bugs you. Well, it's a thing.
And it's for me. I don't think I learned it. It's just I've always been like, nah, I don't like things. You know, can see me and I can't see them.
Yeah. Like, well, maybe it is just a personal thing.
Maybe.
No, every time everybody's always closed curtains at night. I don't like that thing. Or, you know, if they're trying to see, everybody, of course, turns the lights out so they can see
right,
outside.
Yeah.
You know, things. Yeah. But I've never liked, I'm the same as you. I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
Fishbowl, you call it? Living in a fishbowl, I like that.
Yeah. I can't do it at night. Shades have to come down.
So this one on here got is shape-shifting. You know, here was a man a long time ago that my mom was at a doings. And I had a story that she said was at a certain, I don't even know what kind of ceremony it was. I should have asked her to say. I just remember that she said he told them all, pray hard, they're calling me the Chief Mountain. And that's what he said, and everybody just really kept praying hard, and he said they heard him where he was sitting. It sounded like a bird flew from where he sat, reached straight through that wall out. And she said we kept praying, and we kept praying. I said for a while, and she said I remember being kind of worried. I didn't know. You know, I just knew we had to keep praying. So we did, and finally we heard that sound again. The bird came in, and then right where he was sitting where that bird landed, that's where he started talking again. He says, oh, it went good. Thank you, it went good.
Hmm.
That's what they said, is that the old guy could do that. He could turn into an eagle, they said.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. When you do like that, you don't need to, you know, because you'd be in spirit form, you don't even need it on the wall. Yeah. So there was another one too about shape-shifting, I remember. So I was talking like the virgin birth is a miracle. Well, we've had lots of those. Well, I'm not saying virgin birth, but miracles, crazy things like that, like people can't really explain. And you know, back when it was more so, a thing. It was common. So at one time, you would go out and get your gifts, you'd fast, and the Spirit would put it on and give you gifts. Well, you would want to use those gifts, so I guess in a way you would gather a little following of sorts. People would come to you for healing, right? They'd always come to you. And when they come to you, I can't say it's like how you become rich, because you don't, but you know you're going to get fed. You know things are always going to be okay if you have these bundles because of that gift giving, like how that works. It's like a thanks, give thanks for what you receive,
okay,
healing and stuff. And so food, you'd get, things like that. Or you might get a hammer, or a bow, or, something like that. Anyways, they would put on big displays, too, and show people what gifts that they got. So this was going down one time, and they were in a big lodge. One man of one group were on one side of the lodge, and another man of another group of holy men were on another side of the lodge. One of those old guys, and there's people, spectators, all throughout the lodge, all watching. And one of those guys got up on one of those sides and said, "I'm going to make all you guys fall over on your side." And as soon as he did, he started doing his medicine. He would dance toward that door, and he'd stop, and he'd dance back toward that center by the fire. They'd dance back out. As soon as he started doing his medicine like that, those, all those guys that were sitting there started doing their protection songs, and they started singing. All of them did. Well, that fourth time as he was dancing toward that door, he took one step out, put one foot out, like he was going to go out again with his next foot. Instead, he paused it there, and he looked back behind him and made a brushing motion with his arm, his hand, across those guys, and they all fell over. Everybody's like, ah, mm-hmm. cheering and stuff. And as soon as they all fall over, one of them gets up and starts running around the center of that, just running, just fast, fast. And finally, as he's running, he just simply turns into a crow. Goes up and he lands up in the middle where the smoke comes out. Lands right there and starts making sound. Everybody cheered again. Mm-hmm. And so they were battling. And these would take place. Things like this would take place. That's what I'm saying. People, that's another shape-shifting kind of type story from back home. But yeah, things like that would happen. They'd have displays out on the plains. Can you imagine being a fly on a teepee flat then?
Right, yeah. Wizard battle. That's awesome.
Yeah. It is. It's so cool to think about some of those things. But they would do them, and those spirits would oblige, They would display. Mm-hmm. See, because normally you don't do that. But they would. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's just, it's probably something about it, obviously, that I don't understand. You probably never will. How does it?
Yeah, how? I don't think we get all the answers, unfortunately. Or many, even. The longer I do this show, the more I realize, I don't think I'm getting too many answers here before I go. But I'm all right with it. It's fascinating stuff.
It is.
You know, I have yet more stories with Ron. We sat down for a total of, I think, 4 hours and talked. Two different calls, 2 hours apiece. I'm going to go ahead and put those out as a patron show, the rest of them. So if you like Ron's story, come on over to Patreon. You can check out another full show with Ron. Patrons, that should be dropping for you soon. Again, it's patreon.com/strangefamiliars. This is a mighty witchy label here, Allison.
It is.
Witch-all. Is that witch-all?
Yeah, I think so.
It's a witch hazel leaf, but I like all the branches and stuff. It's very cool.
It's not just for astringency anymore. Sometimes it's for aesthetics.
It's distilled from selected young twigs.
Yeah, you know how I like old graphics and old advertising.
Yeah, it's cool.
I have some of these I kept for myself, and then I had a few more. This one is, it's post-1906, but I'm thinking it's later than that, maybe 30s.
I might steal that. Not the cross form, but like the way the branches are.
Mm.
I might steal that for a Stone Breath cover.
Yeah, there's a lot to potentially steal here. Like the colors are fantastic.
Yeah,
we got
great.
The red, black, gold again, and with like the green and the witchy twigs. I thought it might be good since we're coming up on, you know, not just Christmas, we're coming up on Yule and Solstice, Kwanzaa, end of the year.
Mm-hmm. I will put an image of this in the show notes for this episode at strangefamiliars.com. If you click on that, it'll send you over to our Etsy shop.
And you'll likely have it if you order it today by Yule. So there you go.
You can purchase this label, other curiosities of the week, and all manner of other things in our Etsy shop.
Tim ships very fast. I would like to add that. He is obsessive about getting things out within the second somebody orders it.
Well, we do. Some of the books go media mail, which takes longer, but we will work with people and we'll do priority mail if you need something quickly.
Especially this time of year.
Yeah. I've tried to set options for priority mail in the Etsy shop, but if there isn't one, I'm sort of redoing all the postage. So there's priority mail options. If there isn't a priority mail option, you can just contact me. I'll make one or else I'll make a, you know, something special so we can get it out to you. So if you're looking for something for a gift, the last minute, we'll try. We'll do priority mail. If you don't care about when it arrives, media mail is a lot cheaper for books and stuff. So, you know, it's up to you, the buyer, however you want to handle that. Speaking of the Etsy shop, from now until the new year, we're going to run a special. Anybody who purchases one of my books or more than one of my books, whether you get it for yourself or you get it as a gift for someone else, I'll do a little remark sketch along with my signature in it, and that will apply to any of the books, any of my books on Etsy. They're all up there. Beyond the Seventh Gate, my first book, Bigfoot in Pennsylvania, Bigfoot West Coast Wild Men, Don't Look Behind You, Where the Footprints End, Volume 1, Volume 2, The Witch Cloud, and Apparitions, Illustrations of the Other. I think that's all of them. Any book order, you don't even have to ask. I'll sign them, and I'll do a little remark sketch again from now until the end of the year. Our Etsy shop name is Lost Grave, but if you type in Strange Familiars, you should see our stuff come up. Supporting us on Etsy is supporting the show, so we thank everybody for that as well. We also have Strange Familiars t-shirts there, both glow-in-the-dark and the original blue right now. I think we still have all sizes, small through 3X. Some of the sizes are dwindling in quantity, but I think right now we still have all sizes in both colors. While you're on Etsy, make sure to check out Chad's shop, Ruck Rabbit Outdoors. Check out our friends at Karmic Garden.
And check out Riverbend Comics.
Oh, yeah.
Our favorite comics purveyor.
They're not on Etsy. Riverbendcomics.com. You can check out Riverbend Comics. What's that?
Upcoming next week.
Yeah.
What's the topic?
Next week, I'm talking with Brother Richard. That's the topic. We're talking about angels. Patrons, there'll be more Ron headed your way very soon. And for everyone, we'll be back soon with more Strange Familiars. Strange Familiars is a production of Dark Color Arts, music, books, art, podcasts, and more. Intro and background music is by
Stone Breath.
To hear more or purchase music by Stone Breath, you can go to where then, Smarty? Stonebreath.bandcamp.com. Strange Familiars is on... Strange Familiars is on... You're not going to...
Fire.
Facebook. Facebook.com/Strange Familiars. It is there that you can join the Strange Familiars gathering group. Strange Familiars is also on Instagram, @StrangeFamiliars, one word. Give us a follower. And you can find us on the web 24/7 at StrangeFamiliars.com.
Sometimes more.
StrangeFamiliars.com.
Snow.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.